Today on Real Radio.
I know, Christian, there's times our faithfulness is so pitiful, isn't it? We fail so much, and yet God's there every day. Isn't that great? You know, I don't know what you're feeling like this morning. Maybe physical things have gotten you down. Maybe emotional things, spiritual things. I don't know. And you feel like you're just but dead.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. It's the written account named for the man who led God's people into the Promised Land. And today, we learn more about that word, promise. You see, it was the Almighty Himself who guaranteed not only the land, but certain cities for certain tribes and families of Israel. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now in a study of Joshua chapter 21 called God Has Promised.
It had to be 6-7 months ago where we were really short on ushers, that several ushers were sick, and someone came up to me and said, "We're short on ushers." And right there, a brother had been sitting, who's been sitting there for a couple of years. And I knew him, and I turned and I said, "We need you to be an usher." "Okay, cool, pray about it." "No, now. We need you now." "Now." And you know what? He goes, "All right." And he stood up and he said, "Where do I go? What do I do?" And I said, "That guy right there will take care of you." And off he went. Guess what? I just asked him to be an usher that day. We were short. I told him we were short. He's still ushering. He loves it. You know what? He owned it. "I'll pitch the tent, I'll put the badger skins up, or I'll seat the people." It's a wonderful thing. The distribution of the land to the Levites would be equivalent today to the distribution of God's gifts of the Holy Spirit to you and I. We're the modern-day priesthood to the world and to the church. And so you can see how this flow goes. There's an allotment, and on it goes. It's specifically dealing with the children of Israel. But look at verse 43. Can you skip all the way to 43? Because it just repeats over and over again. You can read it later, but look at verse 43. "So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it." Verse 44 and 45. "The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies could stand against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand." Verse 45. "Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." Very quickly, I want you to consider this. In verse 43, this is God's faithfulness to keep his promise. He's faithful to keep his promise. And I want to just point out a couple of things here right now. In verse 43, it says, "So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give them." He had promised Abraham this promise. He had promised him. And you know about the promise that God had given to him. Remember when God was drawing up this covenant with Abraham, an eternal, a forever covenant regarding our faith. God sealed that deal with himself. He didn't seal it with Abraham, though it was promised to Abraham. There Abraham built an altar and put the sacrifice upon the altar, and Abraham fell asleep during this most incredible moment of a contract being drawn up with God. And God shows up on the scene, and he passes. It is the light of the Lord through a burning torch. It manifests there over the altar, and it passed over the sacrifices, and Abraham's, he's sleeping. He's on the ground out like a light, sleeping like a baby, sucking his thumb, sleeping. And God passes over the sacrifice and swears by himself. It says because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself. Don't you love that? "I'd like to implement this contract, and seeing how none of you have the ability to pull it off, I'll agree with myself, it will be done." Isn't that great? I'd like to work with people like that, huh? He swore by himself. What contract? Our eternal redemption, that Jesus died for us, that the whole thing is prophetic, that he is the one to come. You know this. And God didn't leave it to human performance. I love that. I love it. God didn't leave it to human performance. God did it himself. All we're supposed to do is look to the cross. Look to Christ. God's made the promise. He started with Abraham, and he fulfilled it. He said to Abraham, I am going to make your descendants as the sand of the sea, of the star in the skies. Look up. You see that? That's how your descendants will be. And certainly he has done that. Isn't it amazing that through Abraham's two sons, one is the children of faith, Isaac. Oh, God has blessed Abraham, no doubt about it. God will always keep his promise. You read a promise in the Bible, he's going to fulfill it in your life. He will do it. The second thing in verse 43 is this, that he had promised, God had promised the children of Israel, and he kept it. It said, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Have you ever owned any, we say we own a house. We kind of own a house. As long, you know, we make our mortgage payment. As long as we're making our mortgage payment, we're, I guess, pretending to own it. But there's something about it. When you live in an apartment, you know, everything's temporary. But the day you go down there and you go to the bank and you sign for a house, put down your down payment, all of a sudden, that place could be a dump. Like my house was a dump. Not much better since I bought it, but it was abandoned, had gunshot holes in it. It was totally messed up. Great place. It's been redeemed, you know. But I remember standing in the backyard after living in an apartment in Costa Mesa. I had my little, you know, 14 inches and 28 inches, little patio thing, look out the window. I'm standing on the dirt in our backyard in Chino Hills. It's my dirt! There's a sense of ownership. It says here that they took the possession. They took it. They controlled it. They owned it. I wonder how many people are owned by their possessions. You know that happens. We have to fight that, don't we, when we get something. Isn't it funny, we get something that's so shiny and we leave it right there. Look at it. And then after about, you know, after it gets its first ding, a friend of mine just got a new car. And he goes, I love my car. And I didn't tell him this, but I had this thought. I ought to just go out there and help him spiritually. This car, oops. Because you're like worried about it. Oh no, and, you know, before your car gets dinged up, you're like searching for the dings. And after you get your first one, now, a month later, you're driving your car into the parking lot, pushing shopping carts out of the way with it, you know. They possessed the land. The land didn't possess them. I think God would bless us more and more if we would learn how to possess our possessions. If we build little idol altars to them, then why would he give us anything? He, you know, Father knows best. And they dwelt in it. What a fantastic thing. Do you realize that 40 plus years had gone by and a generation had perished and they had never dwelt in the land, but now, because of God's faithfulness to keep his promise, they dwell in the land? Second thing I want you to see is in verse 44, God's faithfulness was to bring an end to war. Verse 44, the Lord gave them rest all around. We see here that God granted them rest, and it was all around. There's a peace that God establishes. That when God establishes a nation, that nation's going to be kept safe. God established them there. God gave them rest from war. And I don't think it's a stretch to say in our day and age regarding not so much land or the nation, but God gives us who come to Jesus Christ peace from and rest from the war. I would say one of the most wonderful things about fellowshipping with you is getting to know you and finding out as we sit together or travel together or whatever we're doing together, you say, you know what, this is the way I used to be. This is the business I was in, and this is what God has done in my life since. That's a great thing to hear. And Malachi 3:16, the scripture says there that the Lord, he listened in on conversations when they, the people of God, spoke one to another about the Lord, that the Lord listened to them, and he wrote down what was being said in his book of remembrance. Isn't that great? He's going to write today about you, about me. He's going to write. When you say, oh, isn't the Lord good? God opens up his book. Malachi 3:16, and he writes in his book of remembrance. Isn't that wild? Your little diary. Big diary. Big. He writes. Oh, he hears someone speaking of me in the affirmative, in the positive. Because, you know, everyone's using his name by the moment. But when somebody says, isn't the Lord good? He says, let me write that down. Oh, I like that. That's why fellowship is such a wonderful thing. The Lord's right there in the midst. I don't want to humanize him too much, but just in my mind's eye, people get together. He says, he's like begging to be with us. Wherever, just two are gathered together, there I am in the midst. It's like he's inviting people. Come on. He gives rest from the war inside. He gave rest to the children of Israel, verse 44. Also, we see in verse 44 that he had honored the testimony of Joshua and Caleb some 40 years earlier. He had honored the report of those two spies that came out of the 12. Joshua and Caleb years ago had given a favorable report, and God honored that. And he brought them into the land. And then finally in verse 44, we see here that God had fulfilled his word to Moses. God promised Moses, he says, I'm going to take these people in. Moses is gone. Moses is dead. And God keeps his promise to the people. Listen, you and I have a Bible. And it's so funny, but we have to encourage one another to read the Bible. Isn't it funny? Please read your Bible. Oh, okay, I'll try. Read your Bible. Read it, read it, read it. And you got to almost, you know, if you read your Bible, I'll buy you an ice cream, you know, kind of a thing. Just read your Bible. And then we open up the Bible. He says things like this, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Why does he say such wonderful things all the time? And we've got to be provoked to read the Bible. Isn't it funny? He says, you'll be my people and I'll be your God. And he says to us, nothing shall separate you from the love of God. And yet we have to encourage ourselves to read the Bible. It's just another little proof how spiritual the issue is. He's made promises, he'll keep them. He's promised Moses, he kept the promise. When you bowed your knee to Jesus Christ, when you bowed your heart and you said, Lord, save me. Write my name in your book of life. I want to go to heaven. I want my sins forgiven and I want to live for you. You know, you and I have no power to fulfill that prayer, but God does. And he's been working that in your life. Not as fast as you and I would like, but he's been doing it. Not in the way that you and I would like, but he's doing it. He's fulfilling the promise. Jot it down if you would. You know them. You've heard them before, but it's Psalm 138, verse 8. In Psalm 138, verse 8, he says that he will not forsake the work of his hands, but he will complete that which concerns me. So, what concerns me? I want to draw closer to him. What concerns you? You want to draw closer to him. He will answer that prayer. Philippians 1:6 tells us that he is the one that his, if he has begun this good work within us, he will complete it until the day he comes. Isn't that awesome? Philippians 1:6. That is a promise. Are you feeling down, a little dry and dusty in your Christian walk, is it? Friday night at this men's conference, this one man pulled me off to the side and he said, I want to tell you something. You made mention of something about hearing the teaching tonight, and I want to say this is what God's done in my life. He said for over 2 years, his walk had been absolutely barren of fruit and of water and of anything. He kept reading, he kept serving, but he said he was so dry and dusty, nothing was happening in his life. And he said that the Lord, when he was reading the book of Revelation, spoke to him there out of the book about, you have kept my word, and I too will keep you from the hour that shall come upon the whole world to try them who dwell on it. You kept my word. I know, Christian, there's times our faithfulness is so pitiful, isn't it? We fail so much, and yet God's there every day. Isn't that great? You know, I don't know what you're feeling like this morning. Maybe physical things have gotten you down. Maybe emotional things, spiritual things. I don't know. And you feel like you're just but dead. I love the fact that the Lord conveys to us that our walk is with him, and that throughout Scripture there seems to be seasons of the Christian experience. There's times of winter where things just by nature seem to be going slow spiritually. but it's okay. Then there's the springtime in the Christian experience where the flowers are blooming, the birds are singing, and you're advancing in the kingdom's work. And it's that mountaintop experience. Then summer comes and it's just the mainstay. You're up there and you're cruising, but come the end of summer, early fall, it's dry. Things don't seem to be happening. You don't seem to be growing. You take inventory of your Christian experience and your walk with God, and there's nothing new to point at. Gail Irwin told me one time that he went through a 3-year period of time while in ministry that he didn't feel, sense, or hear anything from God. 3 years! And yet he kept up that incredible schedule of his, and he later said, "Lord, if you are waiting for me to give up, I'm not going to. I'm just going to keep on keeping on." And as he came through, it was a season, a long season, but it was a season. Where are you at? Where are we at as a church or as a group of believers? We go through seasons. And then finally this, and we'll end it here, verse 45. We see here that God was dependable to perform what he had said. Verse 45, not a word failed. Can you mark that in your Bible? Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. What an awesome verse. This is a great verse. Very quickly, not a word failed. Why? Because he said it. It was from the mouth of God. Not a word failed. The heavens are abiding right now by the word of God, by the proclamation of Christ. I want to share something with you. Kent Hughes was speaking last night at this conference. This weekend he's been speaking. He's speaking at 9 o'clock this morning still. He said something the other night that blew my mind. He brought out a little bit of science data, and he talked about how Jesus Christ is the one who holds the universe together. And he said, if according to science, if you took a journey at the speed of light, 186,200 and some odd miles per second, if you travel the speed of light, 100,000,000 light years in one direction, and turn left and go in that direction, and turn left and go in the other direction, and turn left and go in the other direction, and come back to where you theoretically started, and then look up and do the same thing in the upward direction, and look down and do the same thing. And on the each of the four sides of your journey, you can go out from that path that you're going on perpendicular. You can go out to the 100,000 millions of universes that are out there in systems. In other words, there appears to us who are finite creatures that space is infinite, but we know that it's not because it is material. It cannot be infinite. It has to stop somewhere. Science knows this. It's one of the arguments and one of the ethical debates in astronomy is that somewhere it must end. And he stressed how all of that stuff's being held together by the command of Jesus Christ, by the word which never fails. And if you were to take an electron microscope and do the same thing and apply it to the microscopic world, you can go in the opposite direction. And the Bible says it's all held together by the word of Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1. The same one who holds the universe together and universes together is the same one who says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." The burden, it's light. It's a gentle yoke. We've been yoked to the world. It's left us bankrupt. We need to be yoked to Christ and be set free. Do you hear him? Have you heard his promises? I want to ask you, are you walking hot with God today? If you are, you'll know it because you are clinging to the promises of God. "Well, yes, Jack, but I wasn't clinging to the promises of God until this tragedy came into my life." I know, isn't that weird? "Well, did he have to do this tragedy?" Quite frankly, it's exactly what he had to do to get us to cling to his word. "Oh, couldn't he have been a little gentler?" Of course he could have, but you wouldn't have been listening. You know, wherever you and I find ourselves right now, and whatever situation that causes us to cling to His Word, that situation, He's only raised it to the level that we need to be at to receive it. He's not going to take us a moment beyond something that we can't bear or handle. Do you know that? Things don't always seem to be the way they look, but things are always the way He has promised if we look to Him. On one of the flights that I was on this week, I had my traditional window seat there. And this mother came with her little boy, the cutest little guy. He had a baseball cap on sideways and it slipped up on the end. He had overalls on. He had a little handkerchief in his back pocket. He had white tennis shoes, little rolled down socks, little tan little guy. He looks so cute. He's sitting there, and now get a load of this. And I don't know why I'm telling you this. It probably doesn't fit in the message at all, but it's fun. It's fun. This little kid, he's sitting there, and he's just having the time of his life. He's looking around. He's standing up in his seat, and he's looking out the window. You sit back down. And his mom goes, "Now it's time to put the seatbelt on." And he goes, "I'm not putting any seatbelt on." She goes, "You are putting your seatbelt on." He sits down there, and she puts the, you know, click, click. She tightens it up. And he looks at her, and she opens up her paper, and you hear this click. And he's standing up, looking around. She goes, "I said sit down and put your seatbelt on." He goes, "I don't want to put my seatbelt on." So this went on for like 5 minutes. Up, down, seatbelt. She goes, "I'm warning you." And at one of the times he got up, she said, "Look around. Everyone's got their seatbelt on." So he looks over at me, and I got my seatbelt on. I figure I better have mine on, you know. She's going to beat me up. And so he sits down and she goes, "We have to obey the rules." "Why?" Now get a load of what this is what she's going to say to a little 2.5, 3-year-old boy. Not the right thing to say. "If you put on your seatbelt, or if you don't put your seatbelt on, if you leave your seatbelt off, you will come flying out of your seat." A 3-year-old boy. "I'm going to fly out of my seat? Tell me more." She said, "You will go all over, up and down, from one end of this plane to the other. You'll just be flying all over the place." And he went. And I'm thinking, "Lady, you're losing this one." If you don't sit down. And you see, that little boy, he just wanted to fly. And she made it sound so tempting. Of course, she didn't have the power to fulfill any of the excitement that led his imagination to go pursue. But concerning what the Lord has said to us, God is able to perform. He's able to fulfill. We will go to heaven as we look to Him. And as we walk with Him, He'll take us to the promise.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study quite simply called God Has Promised. It's a look at Joshua chapter 21, which takes a look at all of the fulfilled promises handed down to Israel by God Himself while they took possession of the promised land. God Has Promised. It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating look at this scriptural historical book. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you know, if you've been enjoying and growing through Real Radio, we would love to hear about it. Why don't you drop Pastor Jack a quick line at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click the button that says Radio Reaction. But here's something else you can do. Tell a friend, tell your loved one, your family member, or your coworker about Real Radio and tell them when it's on the air. Now, even if that person's out of town, you can find Real Radio broadcasts in their area simply by visiting us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or give us a call at 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.